Okay, this coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parsha Shofetim, which, of course, is such an essential Parsha with so many different mitzvos associated with it, especially in the realm of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, and in terms of the questions of justice. And if, therefore, we open up with a very popular mitzvah, Tzedek, Tzedek, Tirdof, to pursue justice, and Rashi adds that one has the obligation to run after the best Beis Din, the Holech Achar Beis Din Yafeh. The Sefri adds that one needs to select a Beis Din like the Beis Din of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai or Rabbi Eliezer. And from the Sefri's comment and Rashi's comment, it sounds like one doesn't need to trust the local Beis Din, and in fact should spend the money and the travel time and effort to go after the best one. But at the same time, later we are told that Ein lecha ela Beis Din shebiyamecha avasa la kohen asher yeh bayamim mahem. You have to trust those who are with you and in your days. How is one supposed to rely on the local authority and place their trust in the leaders of the own time and place if, in point of fact, one is supposed to realize that there is a limitation in doing so? So Reb Henoch Leibowitz, Zechar Tzadik Livracha, the famous Rosh Yeshiva of Chafetz Chaim, explained that there's no contradiction between the two ideas. In fact, you need to have both abilities. On the one hand, if one needs to be always challenging his own thinking, and therefore you have to realize that you come from something and that there's a greater environment, lest the person get too haughty and seek out the best opinions out there. So always make it your business not to think that the world ends at your level. But at the same time, you need to know that there's a limit on how much checking a person can do, and a person needs to accept the opinions of the great minds of his day once those people are identified. Tzedek, tzedek, tirdof. Ultimately, the goal is one and of the same, to find tzidkas, to find the opportunity where you can be mutzdak, not because you don't accept, but actually quite the opposite, because one realizes that he's exhausted the possibilities and he can go ahead and achieve there within. The Torah then tells us, "V'lo sakim lecha matzeva," that a person should not establish a matzeva which Hashem finds abhorrent. Rashi reminds us that although this was okay in the time of the Avos, today Hashem doesn't want a matzevos, since they become symbols to Avodah Zarah. So why are we different from the Mizbeach? Why are the matzevos different from the Mizbeach, which the Umos HaOlam used for Avodah Zarah? Why are we allowed to build Mizbachos if Hashem doesn't want to go ahead and have us build matzevos? Why is one better and one worse? So Moshe Feinstein's Atzal explained that a Mizbeach is made from many, many stones, and a matzeva is made from one stone. At least al derech hadrush, before Matan Torah, Hashem was okay with those who did one significant action, even if it wasn't followed up upon. After Matan Torah, Hashem is not so satisfied with a single stoic gesture, but rather he's interested in gestures that keep growing in quantity and quality. Build mizbachos, don't suffice with one stone. Go further and achieve. Then we get into the mitzvah of Som Tosim Alecha Melech, that we have responsibility to establish a concept of a king. And one of the rules with the king is V'lo Yarba Lo Nashim, he shouldn't have too many wives. And the Medrash notes that when Shlomo HaMelech decided that he could withstand the command not to have too many wives, he took additional ones. And when that happened, the letter Yud came to complain in front of Hashem. The Medrash explains that the Yud from Yarba asked why Shlomo was allowed to go ahead and violate the letter Yud. All right, why was he allowed to go ahead and violate Yarbet? So Rav Huttner asked the obvious question, why is it that the letter Yud came? What about the letter Resh, the letter Beis, the letter Hey from Yarbet? What is it only about the letter Yud? So Rav Huttner explains that the letter Yud has the power to focus on the future. The letter Yud always takes a present tense word and gives a point for the destiny. And that's especially the case based on the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph, where Hashem told us, the Gemara tells us that the children came and said, Aleph Beis, Gimel Dalet, Hey Vav Zayin Ches Tes Yod. And the Gemara Darshan's based on what the children said, Alei Bina, the beginning of all knowledge is Gemol Dalem, etc. And there, the letter Yud stood for the understanding of Yerusha, that it goes without saying, says Rav Huttner, that Hashem gives us the Torah as a Yerusha. And thus, the letter Yud argues that although Shlomo HaMelech might have been logically okay But the Torah comes beyond logic. The Torah rests on superlogical principles and needs to be observed even when it looks like logic at the time doesn't support the need for the rules. If I don't have to, I'm so smart I can withstand the pressure of having too many wives, the Torah tells us don't be so smart. When the Torah gives us a mitzvah, it's meant to be followed fully. Then we're told that there is a concept called irmiklat, and when a person who kills b'shogeg, somebody who kills inadvertently, goes v'nasa lachas harim ho'el v'chai, he should run to one of the arimiklat, and he'll be able to live. And what does it mean v'chai? So the Gemara Makos on Dav Yud Amud Beis explains that when a student is sent to the irmiklat, Rabbo Gola Imo, his Rebbe, is sent with him in order to. In order to make sure that he's able to have life, right? That's what it means. V'chai is chai Torah. So Rav Shneiman Zatzal highlighted that Rav Simcha Zelig Rieger would often quote Rav Chaim of Valaj and see the process of the Masorah over here, who explained that when the Vilna Gaon was on his deathbed, one of the townspeople was complaining that he, the townsperson, couldn't handle the pressure of the Kedusha. Why is that? The Tanoim and Amoraim were around to greet the Gra, as a teacher would the students. And this, Rav Shneiman explained, is part of the unbeatable connection between a Rebbe and a student. The Rebbe is life, and the Rebbe is always there in the life of the student. Even when the student doesn't think he's being influenced by the concerns and the mindset of the Rebbe is still influencing the student. And this is one of those things that the student needs to appreciate and grow to love. And this is something that we need to appreciate even long after we are there. We as parents, we as teachers, we as students, we the people that have influenced our lives, continue to influence us even until today. When the Jews get ready to go into war, we're told, Al Yera Levavchem, you should not go ahead and let our hearts be worried. And Hashem tells us that there will be no need to be afraid because Hashem is with the Jewish people, Lahatzilecha. Right? God is with the Jewish army, saving them and fighting on their behalf. This theme gets repeated again in Parshas Kisetzeh, where the soldiers are also commanded to be careful to have a clean camp and to dress properly out of respect for the Shechina. And Rav Shechter Shalita would often remind us that the Gemara applies the same rules of cleanliness and proper dress not only to the soldier, but also to the one who is davening or learning Torah. We can't be in a dirty place and we can't be dirty people when we're involved in davening and learning Torah. And the source for those rules comes from here in regard to the soldiers who are fighting Hashem's battles. It's interesting, Rav Shechter would point out to us that the Yerushalmi in Erevin learns that the 10 soldiers constitutes an army camp. And similarly, it takes 10 to make a minyan in order to recite Kaddish, Kedusha, and Baruch Hu. And the minyan, who's fighting God's battles, constitutes a Davar Shebekdusha. And the Torah promises that the Shechina will be with them, which doesn't tells us that we have a responsibility when we are with a minyan to realize we are fighting Hashem's battles in the process, and we need to be properly aware, mindful, and prepared in order to be able to proceed properly. We're also told, ki yiyah ish soni l'reyehu, when a person goes ahead and hates his friend, and the Torah goes to great lengths to explain the accidental nature of the ir miklat. So why the introduction about ki yiyah ish soni l'reyehu, about hating one's neighbor? So Rav Scheinberg Zatzal explained that when one is lax in a simple issue, he comes to do a greater avera, right? If you violate v'yahavtal reyecha kamocha, you'll come to violate l'sisna sachicha bilvavecha. If you violate l'sisna, you'll ultimately come to shvichas damim. And Rav Scheinberg added that we see why this is a klal gadol b'torah. V'yahavtal reyecha kamocha is a klal gadol b'torah. Even when we miss it, the error can change the trajectory of one's whole life. You're lax on v'yahavtal reyecha kamocha. As a result, you come to sinna. From sinna, you come to kill people and be lax on shvichas damim. You can see how dangerous that situation is. Don't be lax. Be very strong. The Torah then goes on and reminds us, that in regard to the Egla Arufa situation, when one is found murdered between two cities, the closer city does the Egla Arufa process, and we're told that we have to have responsibility as a nation to destroy innocent blood from within our midst. And Ibn Ezra comments that if one does that which is Yashar Vatov, Kitasa Yashar Vatov, if you do that which is Yashar in the eyes of Hashem, then there'll be no blood that gets spilt. And that's simply the result of the understanding of Schar Mitzvah Bahayama, that this is the result of the Schar Mitzvah in this world. In other words, the greatest kiruv we could do is the kiruv of ourselves. If we do that which is Yashar, that's the ultimate kiruv. Rav Nachman C. Finkelzatzal would actually often point out that the world gets a lot of inspiration from the yashus of an individual. If I'm doing that which I'm supposed to be doing over here, it has impact around the world. And why is that so? So Rav Nachman C. explained that when a person realizes that he or she impacts the world through his own or her own individual actions, it gives the rest of the energy to us to keep on going ahead and doing so. It's not just the show of kiruv. We have a responsibility to be certain people. That's the ultimate process of kiruv. Finally, in the Haftorah, we read, "Vasim devarai beficho, betzel yadi kisisicha, l'ntoa shamayim v'lisod aretz." I placed my words in your mouth, and with the shade of my hand I covered you, to implant the heavens, and to set a foundation for the earth, and to say unto Tzion, you are my people. To whom is the Navi speaking to in this pasuk? So Rav Rivlin Shalita, the famous Rosh Yeshiva, former Mashgiach of Karen B'Yavna, used to explain to us that Rav Chaim Volozhiner explains that what Yishayo HaNavi is trying to do over here is to speak to every Jew, that Hashem is reminding us that we all have enormous potential and great ability that is inherent in each and every one of us, that we're able to lintoa shamayim v'lisod aretz, to implant the heavens and to set a foundation for the earth. And so in this regard, Yishayo wants to contrast the lowliness of those who are trying to oppress us with the people who are Jewish, who have the ability, lintoa shamayim v'lisod aretz, a quality that's mentioned in regard to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And so if we recognize that as chelek of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have that incredible ability to transcend even those who try to limit us and limit our function, so why would we be afraid? No, we don't need to be afraid. We are Am HaNifchar. We are the chosen nation. And we have the ability to transcend even the boundaries of Galus in order to help us be Menucham and to be able to be even greater. And if we do so, we not only will achieve a Shabbat Shalom, but we will get to the Yom Shekulo Shabbos Menucha L'Chayei HaOlamim Shabbat Shalom to all.